You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And then he is, oh, now there you are. Okay. He's a big old Boston fan, so you guys are going to double team me today. But you know what? As a Laker player, I am used to the double team, and I'm used to all that, so I'm ready. I have my all black, D, because we're in mourning out here. We ready, Nick?
We're ready, Coop.
Showtime with Coop is powered by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Welcome to another edition of Showtime with Coop. Insightful BS with my Laker teammate and NBA legend. And in the house, we have no bigger legend than D. Brown from the Boston Celtics. D, how are you doing, sir?
Coop, I'm doing good, man. Pains you to say that. I know that. I know it does. I know.
Well, you know what? We're going to kind of jump around for a little bit, but the first thing I want to ask you is, how are you feeling about the Celtics series now?
You know what? The last two games is what people have been expecting from the Celtics. You know, like playing together, moving the ball, playing defense, you know, the things they did all during the regular season got them to the point where they are now, obviously the best record in Eastern Conference. It's a tall task. I mean, they've done things in the last couple of games that people didn't think they were going to do. People really thought, okay, well, maybe they'll win game four, then go back and lose game five. Now, you know, the pressure has flipped back to Miami because this is literally, I think Miami's game seven, this game six back at home. But you see, when the ball's moving, the ball's popping a little bit, Jalen trusting their teammates, you see how good they are. And then, you know how it is. Good offense always wants you to play defense. And that's what happened. But shot goes once, everybody wants to defend.
D, we're going to dig into that series and a little bit about our series when during the 80s when you and I went against each other. But first of all, one more question about that. Do you really, really believe in your heart that they can win?
I do, because they're the better team. I mean, listen, deep in my heart, I believe usually when teams are down 3-0, the team that's down 3-0 is the team that's the lesser seed or not the more talented team. They're down 3-0, but they're the better. I mean, you could honestly say they're the better team overall, talent wise, than the Miami Heat. So that's the reason why I think if they're a lower seed, I'll probably say no. You know, they're playing hard, they're run out of gas. But I think because they are the higher seed, they were expected to win. They lost both games at home early. You know, obviously they got to go still one in Miami. They do that, they got a chance.
Do you know that record? It's 0-150. Anybody down 0-3 coming back?
Somebody's got to do it. Records are meant to be broken. You know that. I mean, you got the one of the original captains behind you on the wall, and LeBron James broke his record, which I thought would never be broken. I thought that would never be broken. You know, so we're saying things. You know, we've been around long enough to see great achieve things, and all of a sudden, this new generation on and breaking all these records, if it's a 3-point record, if it's a scoring record, if it's a triple doubles in the playoffs, you know, like the game has changed a lot. So yes, there's still a possibility as long as, you know, they got another game to play.
Well, we're going to get into that. But you know what? I want my listeners to know who D. Brown is. I know who D. Brown is. That's the guy that pumped his Reeboks up and won the slam dunk contest. But we want to know a little bit more about you, D. What was it like for you growing up and where you from?
I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. That's where I'm back at now. I'm back in Jacksonville now. I work for Jacksonville University, the school I went to college at as a senior associate athletic director. So I'm back. I left pro sports about 2 years ago. But grew up in Jacksonville, grew up in Florida. You know, went to high school in here, went to college here. The first time I ever saw snow is when I got drafted by the Celtics because I'm from Florida. So I think it was a culture shock to me.
Same here.
I was like, oh, my goodness, what is all this crazy stuff? I can't drive in this. And, you know, my mom and dad still live here in Jacksonville. So it's great to be back home with my, you know, with my family. I've been married for 30 years. You know, I got 4 kids. Obviously, Lexi, who you've always spoke to before and, you know, have done some TV stuff with her, plays with LA Sparks. Another daughter that plays college basketball, Wayne and Mary. But me, I'm just a, you know, I just try to be a dad now. Definitely a girl dad. I got my youngest son plays basketball now, and he's one of the top players in the state of Florida. So I'm excited about just being back home in Florida. In Florida, and you know, I've experienced. You know, we all, you know, basketball takes us so many places. You know, got a chance to play in Boston for a long time, Toronto, Orlando, coached in, you know, different cities. Coached, you know, again, we're unique, Coop, because we coached against each other as well in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. That ties in like media, NBA, WNBA. Home is now back. It's a full circle after 30 years of, you know, from being away from Jacksonville. I'm back here mentoring kids, mentoring our student athletes and things like that. So I enjoyed my time back home in Florida.
The Celtics are hiring assistant coaches after the season, man. You see, you're real comfortable down there in Florida?
Yeah, I'm comfortable. After I retired and playing 12 years in NBA, I went right to the front office. And the next 18 years after that, I was either an assistant coach for several teams. I was on the staff when we in Denver. I was at Mike Malone in Denver on his staff when we drafted Jokic, and I knew. I didn't think he was going to be this good, but I knew he had a different skill set. I remember being in practice with him and saying, this dude here is our best point guard. Like, he was a rookie. So now I don't have my ambition to get back in coaching. I know Cooper understands what that entails to do that every day, that grind. I enjoy being on the college level because I get a chance to teach, educate, give it back, you know, the 30 years of experience from the pro level for all our student athletes, not just basketball, but just professional personal development for them. So I enjoy where I am now because I get the chance between an 18 and 24 year old individual, I get a chance to kind of just give some of this life information that they need right now.
That's great.
Hey, AD, a couple of things. Two things growing up that your parents told you that you still hold true value to you today.
Always be true to yourself. Like, don't cheat the process. Like my dad and my mom say, just don't cheat the process. Like whatever you do, don't skip steps. No matter if it's a relationship, if it's, you know, playing basketball, if it's at work, don't cheat the process. Go through the steps. Go through the pain.
One thing you said is be true to thyself.
Yes.
Okay. And one other thing that your parents told you.
Yeah, I mean, be true to yourself, but also, you know, value learning as much as you can as far as information, your education. Being around people that are you, they always told me, seek out knowledge. When you're true to yourself and you don't skip steps and process, you know, you have to make sure that you're around people that pour into you and be around those people. If you're, you know, not around people in your circle that want to help you be better, then you're in a cage. And they always told me that. Don't be in a cage. Be in a circle that's going to push you forward. And being back home, you know, like everybody says, you know, you'll value family. You know, it's you know, we were here on a short period of time. You know, we get a chance to do that. And they always told me, like, value family. Like take that and don't take it for granted. So you said two things, but those three things that I thought that my parents, you know, and I still try to instill in my kids as well, things that I live by almost every day.
you know, Diaz, we're growing up and we're playing sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, and you're just balling. And I remember, you know, because I have a 17-year-old son, 18-year-old now. They don't have those values that we have, and they appreciate it because there's so much given to them. They feel like they're entitled. That's the word that we use for this younger generation. Who were some of your role models, whether it be in high school, and for me it was junior college as well as college, but for you, high school, college, who were some of the role models that helped you set you on the right path? And when did you feel that you were going to be an NBA player?
Well, you know, obviously the role model is my dad. You know, he was always around, always in my life, which is great. You know, a lot of people, you know, again, you take that for granted that, you know, you have a male figure that really all they cared about is your growth and development. And like you said, we grew up, you know, the neighborhood raised you. Like, if you did something bad and somebody else's mother saw you, they would knock their mess out you. So it wasn't like now, you know, if you say something to somebody's kid, you know, they'll put you on social media and then call your names and try to cancel you. Back in the day, you walk down the street and if somebody else's parents see you doing something crazy who lived in the neighborhood, they ain't got to call your mama. You just knew you was in trouble. So, you know, we had a lot of people like that. But a guy named Tennessee, who was like the local street hoop legend, taught me like the ins and outs of how to play street basketball, like how to like hoop, like you know, nothing, you know, we didn't have trainers back then. We had the guys on the street that played in the park every day. Those are trainers. You know, guys like that. You know, growing up, my high school basketball coach was a great influence on me. Coach Buddy Ward, he did obviously a great job just preparing me, not just for basketball, but for college. Like he always told me, you know, he always kept me present in my fallback. And so that's why I, you know, when I went to college, you know, I always knew in the back of my mind that I had to have a fallback. I never didn't know I was going to be a pro until like my junior year in college. Like it took me a while. I had to grow into my body. I had to get more confident. You know, in my junior year, I kind of started seeing a little bit of separation between myself and my teammates. And then looking around the country, social media, watched games. We had to watch TV, get film, you know, VCR tapes, you know, watch of other players. You see that I could play at this level, you know, and the experience that I had being around, you know, some great players that I got a chance to come across when I was going through the process kind of, you know, solidified my senior year. Like, you know, I can play at this level. You know, I had a teacher that I had in high school, my Spanish teacher. She was the first person, and when I was in high school, she was my Spanish teacher, Margarita Thompson. She was the first person that told me that Georgetown was, I thought Georgetown was HBCU because I was always watching Patrick Ewing and the basketball team. So I was like, wow, Georgetown is not a HBCU. She's like, no, this is a great school for you to go to. And I was excited about the opportunity to go to a school that all these black basketball players are there, but it was a great educational institution. So open my eyes up to what playing basketball and being smart can get you. It can get you to these great schools. It can get you to these great universities. I happen to want to stay at home and go to JU. But those type of people kind of instill those. I talked about those three things. My parents thought were important. The education part, the circle people in your family. So, you know, I try to always be consistent in those groups that kind of was around me that kind of helped me, you know, mold me who I am today.
You're listening to Showtime with Coop. Our guest today is Dee Brown in the house. And Dee, you know what? You're at the point of our show where I call Coop's Lightning Round. I'm going to ask you five names. You tell us as much or as little about the names I'm going to ask you, okay?
That's
it. Okay, first one, John Thompson.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tough. Accountability. Greatness. You know, iconic, just, you know, show people, you know, what tough love, what tough, real tough coaching really looks like and how it evolved all the players that went through this program. I loved him so much, either if you're a player or far away.
And for the listeners that I should have said, John Thompson was the former coach of Georgetown University. Great, great player who's passed on. His memory still lingers with a lot of players that whose lives he's touched, okay? Danny Ainge. And before you say anything, I fucking hate this guy. You know, I played Danny going all the way back to college, but he was at BYU. I was at New Mexico. So Danny and I have a long, I mean, we go way, way back. But anyway, good average player, but a fucked up guy. Okay, go ahead.
Agitator. Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, agitator. Hold on, bright basketball mind when he's with the Celtics. I give him credit. He built that team, got, you know, KG and Paul Pierce and those guys, got Doc Rivers there. So, you know, build the thing there in Boston. You know, pesky, you know, biter. If you ask Tree Rollins, he's a biter. So bit his hand. But that's about for Danny Ainge.
You know what? Excuse me. D, I'm sorry. I got a potty mouth, man. I know you're a very religious person and you don't curse.
I'm those curse words. Don't worry about it.
Just bear with me, okay? Some of these guys. Okay. Next person, Michael Jordan.
The GOAT. Ultra competitive. Generational. Transfer generations.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
D, I want you to get in the gutter with me on some of these guys. Come on, man.
Well, I'll tell about Michael. Michael, when I played against Michael, I hate to say it, he wasn't the hardest person for me to guard. Now, people think Michael, he wasn't. He wasn't the hardest person for me to guard. He would try to just post me up and shoot over me. So I think that I've got a bunch of photos and pictures like we all do of players we played against. And I've got a bunch of pictures back right there trying to block his shot. And he didn't really talk mess to me. I think he was a little mad at me when I won a dunk contest with my Reebok pumps because it put a little dent in his pocketbook with Nike.
Well, tell us about that, D, because that was probably you were probably the first one to start those kind of antics.
Yeah.
In the dunk contest. Now you got guys jumping over cars. Yeah. You got guys putting Superman capes on. You were the first one.
Yeah,
the Reebok had come out with the pumps, right?
Yeah, they called me the pump. Well, it's funny because they didn't know I was going to do it. Surplus story back to Michael. So Reebok didn't know I was going to do that. You know, I was on the Reebok contract already, and I did it because I was just trying to have a show, want to win a contest, get the crowd behind me. So after the contest, we were at a party, like a players' party after the contest, and I won the contest, and all the players, and somehow the VIP area got breached. Like all the fans start getting in there and kind of they try to shuffle all the players out. Well, some accidental on purpose situation happened where I got caught in a hallway with Michael Jordan and his bodyguard. It was just me, bodyguard, and Michael Jordan. And I was like, wow, I'm a rookie. Man, I'm 21 years old. I'm next to MJ, like, okay. And he was, hey, young fella, you did a great job. It was great what you did on the court, but now I got to kick your ass on and off the court. What the fuck about? He's like, you done started the shoe wars. So now I got to kick your ass on and off the court now. I'm like, okay, Drake, thank you, Mr. Jordan. He was competitive 24/7. Like, and when I got that message, like, man, I just did something really big. I must have did.
Hey, you know what? D, you should have said to yourself, I have arrived, baby.
Hold on. You're 21 years old and you're a rookie. And you win a contest, and then you got Michael Jordan standing next to you. He's kind of basically like, you know what? You don't start us some shit right now. Like, you know what? Now I'm trying to put a dent in my pocketbook. Okay, I'm going at you. And that's when I knew I did something special after I kind of thought about it after a while. After I realized what he said to me, I was like, oh, wow, okay, I really started the shoe wars. And basically, after that, people started getting into like shoes and the Jordans and, having pumps and things like that. So, yeah, that's Michael Jordan. I was like, oof, God, dude, there.
Yeah. The every elementary school player pumped their sneakers up before they took a free throw. Like, we couldn't dunk, you know, so they just went free throw, pump them up.
Well, you still talk about a shoe. I mean, it's a lot of guys that got the shoes now. Everybody's got signature shoes now. But, you know, I felt that what I did was iconic enough where we can still talk about it and I can still be a certain.
Sure.
Like, a lot of people can't say that, you know, and that after 31 years after the contest, I could be walking anywhere, and people would bend down and act like they're pumped. They could have on penny loafers, you know, act down like they pumped up their shoe. Because that's what I did. So it makes you feel good. And then, you know, generational wise, you know, my daughter Lexi wears a Reebok now. So it's been just a great journey with them.
You know what? You need to go to Reebok and tell them I need some more money.
Tell Joanne.
The next thing, Magic Johnson.
Oh, gosh. My favorite player growing up was Magic Johnson because I remember watching CBS, and it was you and Byron and Magic and Kareem and Worthy playing against the Celtics, you know, obviously the Big Three and DJ and those guys. But Tanya Eisen, I know it was your favorite, God rest his soul, who was so – I never understood when I watched CBS, like, does Tanya Eisen – CBS, they work for Celtics because his whole telecast was all about the Celtics. Well, it was Matt and Bird go at it, boy. I was like sitting in front of my TV and I was like, this is like heaven to watch these two guys. And Magic was so good. He was so talented. And Magic was very, very, he was so nice to me. Like he would teach me stuff during the games. Like I never had a player, the only player that did that was Isaiah Thomas. That taught me during the game. He said, young fella, you saw what I did right there? I'm like, he's really teaching me during the game. Like, that's mentorship. That's past playing. That's being a true vet. He's like that now. If I see him around, he's like, young fella, you good? You need anything? You know, you need help with some information? To me, he's the ultimate. Like, if you want your journey as an NBA player, as far as playing, retiring, and then going to, like, outside of basketball, Magic Johnson's written a script. Like, why would, you know, like, he's so... He's so dynamic. And you know, I love Magic. I was, you know, to see a 6'10 guy do that. And then I remember game six against the 76ers. And he had a triple double playing center. You know what I mean? Like, you were a part of that stuff. You know, like, I remember you with your high socks and all that stuff, like, and the string hanging out. I'm a history buff. You see that, right?
Me too, yeah.
I watched basketball religiously. When I was young, there's always you guys, the Lakers and the Celtics. And it's like, you know, Magic was that guy that kind of inspired me to be like, man, you know what? This is special. I want to be special like him. I'm going to pass like him. I want to like him. I want to make teammates love to play with me like him. You know, like, that kind of thing is what Magic Johnson is all about.
The other name that you mentioned, D, sorry to cut you off. I asked you about Magic. But you can't say these players without saying the other one. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. Yeah. Tell us about Larry Bird.
Best player. He's the best player I ever played with. And I know it was later in his career, but he was still that dude. He would talk mess all the time. I mean, he was nonstop. Like I said, I got a chance to see that firsthand. Like after watching it as a kid, and all of a sudden being able to be propelled in that environment to see me to guard Magic and me pass the ball to Larry, it was surreal. And Larry was you know, you hear his stories, you know, he's there 2 hours before the game and 2 hours. It's true. He would make me come in for him as a rookie and rebound and pass and shoot with him before game, rebound after the game, because he wanted to be a better player. But you talk about a shit talker. I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, it was nonstop. It was.
Give us one story.
Give us the best one. When the one heard. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think you know the best one, you know, the one where I think, you know, the Laker one where I think, I don't know if Rambis was guarding him. He was mad that y'all put a white guy on him. He would.
I didn't hear that one.
I remember that one. A personal one.
How about Chuck Person? He talked trash through that whole freaking series.
The Indiana series was great because.
Yeah, talk about that series, D.
Well, Indiana series was great because that's when Chuck and Reggie Miller was coming up. Yeah, like, okay, we're taking over. Now we're the new team in the East. And Larry, you know, again, he was, you know, going through the back issues and trying to be healthy and was playing at a high level. And, you know, the rifleman, you know, we had all the you know, the antics and things like that. And Mayor was like, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I'm the baddest man come out of Indiana. Like, you just holding place right now. And if I win this series, you're going to mow my grass at the end of the series. Like, you know, like, I'm like, okay, mow grass. Like, this is kind of bet we talking about now? He's like, you're going to come to my house and mow my grass and we win this series. And I think Chuck's like, yep, man, we ain't losing this series. We won the series. Well, I don't know if he paid his dues and came and mowed the grass. But, I mean, him and Chuck would go at it. It was unbelievable. He would terrorize guys in practices. Like terrorize guys in practices. Like
Larry would?
Yeah, like terrorize, like to the point and to the point where like Larry, he got sit out right now because this dude ain't gonna be the same tomorrow. He ain't gonna be the same. We need him for tomorrow, man. Like, boys. He was always on 1,000. And that's what great competitors do. Like, there's no, when you're on the court, it's not like, okay, this is practice, it's the games. This is competition. So you ain't going to make no reputation off me. And
even when he was in pain, like, he was obviously spending nights in traction and whatnot, even then, like, he was still trash talking.
Oh, yeah, it didn't matter. He still thought he was the best player on the court.
You ever see anybody play through pain like that?
Not like that, because it got to a point where we would show up to the games and our indication was playing or not, if he was in his locker or not. If he was in the locker, he was playing. If he wasn't, we knew he was in traction somewhere, you know. I remember when he hit his face and broke his...
Yeah, that was game five, right?
You know, he was tough. Like, and again, you can't mention those... Like, they, to me, they saved the NBA. Larry and Magic. They really did. And... you couldn't really ask for a better story, you know, Showtime and you know, blue collar, you know, East Coast, West Coast, you know, black, white, however, you know, however storyline you want to put on it. It was like, you know, it was made those two from even from college when they played against each other, when he was at Michigan State versus Indiana State, to see it kind of to go together. But, you know, to be able to play against my favorite player of all time in Magic Johnson, and then be able to play with the best player that was in that same era of growing the NBA. You know, I was blessed in the era I played.
Showtime with Coop is powered by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. New customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win.
Yeah.